You're listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS Radio Network.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and I'm here with Otto Krager talking about Myers-Briggs because he's one of the world's leading experts in Myers-Briggs. So, Otto, I've been waiting to get to this part. I know we could go into more depth about all the other pieces, but I want to hear you free associate a little bit about some people, particularly our most well-known politicians right now, about their type. Okay, now, so I know the caveat, which is that, I'll let you say it, but obviously you're making this up.
Right.
So, but you have I've always been impressed with your insights about people and what their Myers-Briggs types might be because you know the Myers-Briggs so well. So talk to me about a couple people in the administration. Let's start with President Bush. What can you tell us about his type?
The first thing to say on any of the senior figures that have some public persona, and why I say it that way is at Christmas, Hyle Rutledge, the current CEO of the business and incredibly great guy in a lark said, "Hey, Otto, what type is Santa Claus?" And I went through a whole iteration. And my point is, when you're dealing with a political figure or a government leader, or in this case, the president, one of the things that always gets a bit schmurgled is, are we talking about the person or the speechwriters?
There's also the public persona versus how they deal with people behind the scenes.
Right. And so just if you allow that, then I think, unlike his father, the current president is much more extroverted than introverted. He was a party boy at Yale. He's never been known for scholarship. And that's not negative as much as he's far more into the day-to-day operations and far more into taking life as it comes along, always putting parties first. And at one sense, that's a bit of extroversion. So I would go with more extroverted than introverted.
Yeah, yeah. And Bush himself has said things like he said one of the things about being president is I don't have to explain things to people. I don't have to explain my decisions. Right. He says one of the interesting things about being president.
Moving right along. At any rate.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I would put him in that category. Now, I'm not a fan of his, so I don't follow him even as much as I did his father or some other political figures. And then I don't like saying this, but I'm learning that as I get older, I'm less and less interested in politics in general. Just one quick sidelight on that. It was 1964, and it was Johnson running against Goldwater.
Right.
And at 9 o'clock in the evening, because then you didn't have predictions saying the race was over, this is the winner, all right? And around 9:15, my then alive father-in-law of my first wife, man that I just admired immensely, got up out of the chair. And I said, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I got to go to bed." And I thought, that was borderline un-American to me at that point. How could you possibly go to bed when our country's future was in locked into the next 2 or 3 hours?
It hadn't been decided.
Oh, no way. Nowhere's near it. And how can you get up and go to bed? And I think I did say something in my shock to him like that, and I'll never forget his answers. He looked at me and says, "No matter who wins, I got to go to work tomorrow, and I got to pay my taxes."
Well,
and I thought, he's crazy. He can't. I know he's more dedicated than that. Guess what? 50 years later, I'm saying, no matter who wins, I got to go to work tomorrow and I got to pay my taxes. And I just can't get too psyched about promises that mean nothing, about a bunch of bullshit and expenditures of money. And this is the closest promise, Andy, closest I come to a soapbox. But what we urinate away in presidential campaigns and other political campaigns in this country and then think that we have, you know, we can still have people on welfare or we can still have people going to bed hungry at night.
Right.
Oh, boy, something screwed up. But now back to the president.
Don't worry about the soapbox. This show is one big soapbox for me, you know.
Yes.
But I'm with you on that. So you're
your
disclaimer is that you're not a fan of Bush.
So I don't know as I did.
Well, you're being kind because I know that politically neither of us are in his camp.
Yeah.
But also you're saying that that the following the day-to-day nonsense that goes on inside the Beltway is not a good use of your time. And I follow it because I do radio, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And guess what? Akin, and I haven't forgotten your original question, akin to that, as I give the indicator, and I've had the privilege of giving it to a fairly high number in the Senate, as I give it to the more senior people in the Senate, 25 years in the U.S. Senate makes them almost a non-person. It's uncanny how many of their preferences come out with no particular clarity.
And by non-person, what do you mean?
Because they're E-I-S-N-T-F-J-P, right down the middle.
You're saying they don't have strong preferences.
They don't have strong preferences.
Interesting.
And that's what Jung calls, quoting, Sekundakta, that is a primitive personality. Primitive.
But don't I would have thought we would be primitive as a young person and non-primitive older.
Well, they were primitive, grew into some maturity, got elected to the Senate particularly, but to Congress, and then learned the only way they could hang on there is be all things to all people.
Interesting.
And they bland their preferences in doing so. It's unreal. Unreal to be that blended.
You're not saying blended. You're saying bland.
I'm saying blended. To
make
126 forced choices and not know whether you're extrovert or introvert. To not know whether you're literal or figurative.
Interesting.
And to delude yourself into saying, well, I do both. That's a bunch of crap. You do neither very well.
But that goes opposite of what we would think of. Normally, to reach success, you have to go with your strengths and stick with them, I suppose.
But that's not dependent on an election.
So you're saying in an effort not to offend anybody, they have backed off of strong positions.
On what they are, sure. I'm not trying to take a side of Jack Welch, but there's a guy who irritated the hell out of a lot of people and built incredibly loyal friends, like him or not. He changed the face of a huge corporation.
Yes.
And he knew what he wanted.
Right.
And knew where he was going.
Well,
I wish some of our senators could do that.
Well, as you say that, another digression, it strikes me that, you know, when Ross Perot ran for president, he had the idea that he would make an excellent president. I was thinking, no, we do not need this guy. He thinks he can go in and tell Congress what to do because he's been a CEO.
Yeah.
That president is not a CEO.
No.
He's an executive, but he doesn't get to give marching orders to the Congress.
No.
He has to elicit cooperation from the Congress.
And in our system, and I love it, so it's all right, we live with it, but in our system, no matter what order you elicit, no matter what order you give, there's going to be one hell of a farm block against it. Farm block reflects my age. But there's always going to be somebody raising Cain about it, protesting.
I know it.
Marching.
President Bush is out on his 60-day Social Security tour here trying to convince Americans to support his plan, which he hasn't told us what it is yet.
Because he doesn't know. But
well, he doesn't want to say because there's bad news, and no politician wants to deliver the bad news, as we were just saying.
We agree.
But he's out there on this 60-day campaign trying to convince Americans, and he doesn't what I want to say, he's being very much a politician about it, but his fans are shocked that there are people that aren't supporting the president.
Oh yeah,
you know, he holds these town meetings where the crowd is hand picked to be Republican conservative supporters, and people get up and tell him things like, "Well, I don't really have a question, but if you say this is what Social Security needs, then I'm behind you 100%, Mr. President." And so those people can't imagine why the whole country, people fighting against this good man.
Oh, God. But all right, back to his influenced by Heil, who's much more interested in politics and committed as he ought to be at his age. We all are agreeing, not agreeing all, but the bulk agrees, all right, we got an expert. I would take some of Heil's influence, and I think it's supported by my limited knowledge of saying he is a hands-on, sensor, grounded, down-to-earth, not a theoretician.
Absolutely.
He's practical. And though some say he's J, I think that's more his speechwriters, because I think he's more P, who doesn't have know where he's going the next day and doesn't have a good plan. And it's gross to say it this way, but I think he was saved by 911. He was in. He couldn't get elected to anything. Everybody was mad at him, including his own party.
Well, he got
as a troubleshooter negotiator, which is what SPs are, as someone who's incredibly good in a crisis, he made sure he was in the middle of the rubble. That buys incredible loyalty. That's Andy Jackson. That's Teddy Roosevelt, both of whom I would pose to you as SPs. The Rough Riders. You name it. And he was a Rough Rider for that experience.
Yes, and yet I'm surprised about this one because I would have guessed that he was a J.
Oh, most people would have guessed that.
Because it seems to me he had his mind made up about going into Iraq quite early.
Oh, yeah.
He had his mind made up on taxes, and more information came in, and then he just changed the reasons for the tax cuts.
Yep.
He was going to have the tax cuts because we had too big a surplus.
Yep.
Then when we headed for recession, we needed the same tax cuts, $1.7 trillion supposedly, to pull us out of a minor recession.
Yep.
And so... He's staked out the positions first, it seems to me, and has ignored information as it came in. That doesn't sound like a P.
No, I think you got me dead to rights on that, so I can only look at his behavior.
And that is to say,
so while he comes off with this J phenomena that I think is as much some of his party leadership as it is he, I think one of the things he's done fairly effectively, I think, is to be somewhat of a figurehead.
I know what it is. He's the P and Dick Cheney is the J.
Oh, he's surrounded by J's. but I do believe there's
that's interesting.
I think there's an element of truth in what you're saying. The Secretary of Defense is certainly not been P about anything.
No, he's P'd me off.
Okay, yeah, but that's about it. He runs off at the mouth with judgments all over the place. But that's not the point. The point is I think his surrounding staff are more J than he is, and he's smart enough to go with this point, because I think without it, overstated, we would have somebody all over the place, a loose cannon.
Yeah, speaking of Rumsfeld, it seems to me you go to your job with the Myers-Briggs profile you have, not the one you might want at a late future time.
Right. Touche. But so I would put him in the ESF or EST.
Interesting.
Category, but I can't argue with all the J things he does. But I think that's just my bias only. I think that's more just smart SP.
Well, there's another
playing the game.
There's another piece to this. It strikes me that presidents that are J's get rewarded. Presidents that are P's get punished.
Oh, amen, brother.
P's
get punished.
Well, okay, but in general, P's, we want decisiveness in our leader.
Yes,
so
sir.
I can still remember the time Jimmy Carter. Was asked a question at a press conference, a national big press conference, and he said, I haven't decided that yet. I'm still thinking about it. That does not go over well with America.
No.
America liked what they liked about Ronald Reagan, to me, Bush, is that they see the world, at least they paint it, as black and white. And Reagan would say, this is black and this is white, and we're going over here.
Right.
And the country says, now that's leadership.
Right. And another thing on Reagan and some others, I would pose you, in terms of the presidents, the ones that have been the most, quote-unquote, loved by the people, the most popular, are the extroverts. FDR, Harry Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson.
Well, I don't know if Johnson was loved. Reagan.
He got himself into some trouble. Reagan, clearly.
And Clinton.
Yeah, and Clinton. Off-the-wall loved extroverts. Richard Nixon, never trusted. Jan Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous. Tricky Dick. They have the worst names for our introverted presidents. And I would pose you, Carter's introverted. Nixon was introverted. Lincoln was introverted. Now he's the exception on love. But that had to come after life. His living years were very, very unpopular. Abraham Lincoln.
Right, of course. Oh. Well, war will do that for you.
It'll do it.
Well, it strikes me that, you know, I often say that Clinton and Reagan are very similar. This drives conservatives and liberals crazy. But what I see them as similar is that they were masters with television. They were master communicators.
Amen.
Right? Relaxed in front of the camera.
Charismatic.
All of that.
Smooth.
And I also believe, I also claim that both of them will go down as about equal in terms of, they both had about the same kind of presidencies.
Yeah.
And that drives conservatives crazy because they want to put Reagan on Mount Rushmore.
Sure.
And they wanted Clinton impeached because he was a lying a lying president that still had sex.
Yes. Have you ever thought, by the way, the other part on that one? I mean, who? And that's what I loved about the guy who published Hustler.
Larry Flint.
Larry Flint giving $1 million as Congress, as the women were coming out of the woodwork suddenly
for
$1 million. Because, come on, who can throw the stone? But then if you play the other side, I don't care who you are. What would you do? Did Swigert say, oh, yeah, I love screwing around when they caught him? The crying evangelist, you know?
Right. No.
Or Jimmy Baker? Could you imagine the president say, well, I'm certainly glad you asked that question. And I want to be totally honest. And of the last 10 women I've screwed, I've got to rate Monica among the very best, you know? Get real.
Right.
That would have scalded him twice as quickly.
Well, they were, these preachers got knew they got caught, and their first public appearance was repentance.
Yes.
Clinton was still in the process of thinking, I can get away with this.
I can beat it, Who knew they were going to keep their dresses?
Well, more than that, he got sandbagged in the hearing, the original trial or whatever it was, grand jury, and he got surprised with questions. And I'm sure he was thinking, I don't want this to get out to Hillary.
No, years ago on an issue. I remember when I was in the ministry and it was around very sensitive race relations and I was accused of saying something pro the underdog. And I remember crying on the shoulder of a pillar in the community, one of the large automobile dealers who was a very dear friend. He looked at me and called me by my nickname and said, never forget this. If they want you, they'll find some way to get you.
Yeah.
And it makes everything else moot. Do you know what I mean by that? It makes honesty moot. It makes integrity moot. Because if there's somebody out to get your ass, they're going to get your ass one way or the other.
Yeah, I will argue in the case of Clinton that it was his lack of integrity that brought him down.
Sure. But it was the issue, though, was how are we going to get him? Yeah, and I'm not arguing that I agree with you. I'm just saying they will find something, some corner to get you in, some trip you're going to make along the way, trip up. Somehow, if they want you, whoever they're going to have their day with you.
Well, and that's the nature of politics and hardball.
Sure.
They're out, quote, they are out after everybody that's got a high enough profile. I figure that I'll know when I start getting a lot of hate mail that I've made it.
Myers-Briggs type indicator. If you want a best-selling book, write a criticism of it.
Oh yeah, I've talked a little bit on this show, but I've outlined a book about Ronald Reagan and why most of the claims of his presidency are about his presidency and his accomplishments are actually nonsense. That'll upset a lot of people,
and that'll sell the book.
And so will my series of George Bush's conversations with Jesus.
Okay.
That's going to upset some people.
I love it. But you got the idea at any rate.
Yeah. High enough profile, somebody wants to shoot you down.
Somebody's going to get you. But anyway, in terms of the greats, that was this president. Who else you want?
Well,
I had to type his father, you know, for the USA Today.
Repeat that?
I had to come up with a four-letter type for George Bush the father.
Okay, right.
At the outbreak of the Desert Storm.
1991.
And they wanted me to do Saddam. Was that it? At 19? Yeah.
Right.
And I refused to do him only because at that point Rushdie was in danger of losing his life. And so
Salman Rushdie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said, so thanks very much, but no thanks. I'm not going to type.
Well, actually, Saddam wouldn't have been as big a threat being a secularist, essentially. You don't want to be messing with the type of the Ayatollah.
Yeah, no, that's
because if I told you once, I told you 100 times, don't be doing a Myers-Briggs on a holy man.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like it. I'm glad you told me this time. How come we're talking in Italian?
But I have no idea. It just sounded good at the moment.
At any rate, you got the idea.
Otto, I could ask you about 10 more presidents or presidents in waiting, except that we should wrap this up.
All right.
So
let's set another time.
We'll have you back another time,
yes.
And we'll talk about Martha Stewart's type or whoever else is the diva in the news at the moment.
That's good. And your visits, by the way, with the dead, I think is an exciting thing to do. And at the risk of baiting me and you. I happen to know the good Dr. Freud. And weather permitting and all other things being equal, maybe we can have a little seance and call him back and talk about that.
What I love about that is not just your ability to mimic the accent of a Sigmund Freud, but your subject matter expertise. You know a lot about the good doctor. So
I was trained once or twice with that stuff.
That's right. Well,
but it's beautiful like sex. It's beautiful.
Yes. Hey, thanks for being here, Otto. And we will be back on The Andy Finn Show after this.
Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to The Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.